KPCW in Park City. It's This Green Earth, the weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. What do we have today, Mel?
This is a good question,
Chris.
We have
a lot.
Well, in the first part of the show today, we're going to be speaking with Matt Pacenza from Heal Utah. They're having their annual breakfast fundraiser this Thursday, and their keynote speaker is fascinating. He's Sean McGrath, the former chief of Region 8, that's our area, for the EPA.
Right, and Sean will discuss his time working in the Obama administration and all the changes that have occurred at the EPA since Scott Pruitt has taken over. Sean will also share his experiences as the mayor of Boulder, Colorado, and how that city established its own power utility.
Then, next up, we'll be speaking with Daisy Fair from Copper Moose Farm. She'll join us to talk about what's happening at Copper Moose and talk to us about their upcoming open house at the farm.
That's right. And then in the final part of the show, we'll speak with 7th grade students from Park City Day School about their efforts to help raise awareness and money to secure the purchase of Bonanza Flats by Park City Municipal.
They'll share the results of the economic analysis they performed, which showed that if everyone pitched in just a little bit, we can close this deal.
That's right. And all that and some reminders and directions on how you, yes, you, can submit your comments on the proposed Bears Ears National Monument and 27 other national monuments under review by this administration, how you can submit those comments directly to the Department of Interior.
Remember, we don't take phone calls during the show, but you can join in on today's discussion by posting your comments or questions to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth. Our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
Support for KPCW programming has been provided by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting Utah's remaining Red Rock Wilderness lands. SUWA and Utah's Red Rock Wilderness need your support now more than ever. To learn more about how you can become involved, please visit the SUWA website at suwa.org.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in the studio for the first part of the show is Matt Pacenza. He is executive director with Heal Utah. He joins us periodically to talk about all things going on with Heal. But here you're here to talk about an event you have coming up. Your annual, this is an annual breakfast you have.
Yeah, 14th. Really? 14th annual. If our breakfast 14th.
Wow.
If our breakfast were a person, they'd be moody and surly like my 13-year-old.
You've been around for 14 years?
Heal's been around near 20, actually. We're actually in the process right now of debating when to affix our birth date so we know when to celebrate our 20th anniversary.
Oh,
so.
Or 21st, even
yeah,
more important.
Do we have a birth certificate issue with Heal Utah?
There are multiple ones, actually. Yeah, we've got the charitable solicitation permit. We've got the IRS determination. So we have competing documents.
It's either
98 or 99. That's the quick version. We're going to hit 20th either next year or the year
that's
after.
For
we'll,
another
we'll
show.
We'll stay tuned for the outcome
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, we're fighting through that.
So you have a really interesting event coming up. It's this Thursday. Give us the details on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We do this every year. It's a nice event, a morning event. We bring in a guest speaker and brief folks on our work. And, you know, this year, I think if you were to look around, there's a lot of critically important environmental issues. Obviously, you folks just mentioned the National Monuments and Bears Ears, and that's got to be near at the top of that list. But also near at the top of that list has to be, you know, how is the EPA going to change under the new administration and the new EPA chief, former Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt. So that has huge implications for all kinds of things, everything from climate change to air quality, our you know, important air quality issues here in Utah, and many things beyond that. So the timing seemed perfect to bring bring in someone who worked at a very high level within the EPA, who ran the Denver office, the region that includes Utah, and his name is Sean McGrath, and we're really excited to have Sean here on Thursday morning at the Heal Utah Breakfast.
And what's the topic of his talk? What's he going to focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. Sean is going to speak about sort of the accomplishments that occurred under the Obama EPA, and I think if you were to pull out a couple of those, one of them certainly would be, you know, they took the first, you know, serious national action on climate change. And that was, of course, called the Clean Power Plan. Mm-hmm. And it was an effort to reduce the carbon emissions of the electricity generation sector. And as folks probably do know, electricity is the single greatest source of carbon. So if you're worried about climate change and you want to do something about it, electricity is probably your smartest place to start. So the Obama administration came up with a plan. Sean would have been certainly very involved in that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as folks may recall, in a somewhat complicated series of events, that plan was stayed by the Supreme Court, and now under the new administration, a new administrator, and of course a new Supreme Court judge, most folks think the plan will be going away. So Sean will talk about some of those accomplishments, also ones in air quality, also ones that affected Utah's coal power plants directly, something called the Regional Haze Rule. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to, you know, frankly, raise concerns. I mean, Sean is a very experienced person, has been involved in environmental issues and cities and government and trying to make the world a better place for decades now. And he certainly believes that a lot of the progress we've made in recent decades is imperiled by the actions of President Trump and the new administrator, Scott Pruitt.
Now, why was it that you decided to focus on this particular speaker and the EPA?
Yeah, it's just so timely and it's so important, and there's so much uncertainty and people aren't sure how to react. And I think that, you know, I think that I've been thinking a lot about, you know, people have had a lot of, since November 9th, a lot of sort of panic and dread and confusion and alarm. And I think the reality is that we need to take a deep breath and really understand, you know, what exactly can these folks get done? You know, what exactly are their power? What are the limits of the power? What are the ways to challenge the decisions in an informed way? You know, how does the EPA make decisions? I think a lot of these questions are just super important right now because we need to figure out where is our energy and our activism and our resources best deployed in order to, you know, try to slow down or try to, you know, continue to get good work done despite having, frankly, an EPA, which I think is largely going to be hostile to protecting public health and the environment.
I refer to it as the agency formerly known as Environmental Protection.
Right. We're actually using a symbol to denote the
agency. Just a symbol of a smokestack and a heart coming out of it or something like that. So, all right, so that's Sean. Interesting enough, though, Sean was also the mayor of Boulder for a period of time, and he, among other things, helped establish an electric utility for the city of Boulder.
And I'll jump in there and say we just got a comment from a listener who's particularly excited about that portion of his talk about the Boulder stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to cover that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And questions.
We certainly have had around the country a lot of progressive cities, counties, you know, who have looked around and said, you know, our utility is not our partner. Our utility is not helping us get to where we want to go in terms of wanting to make our electricity system cleaner and greener. And so when you realize that, if you're a city, if you're a county, if you're a municipality, you make that determination, you know, you don't have a ton of options in a lot of ways. You know, the law is sort of grants them the right to deliver electricity. You can try to push them or steer them or incentivize them. But ultimately, if you're really feeling bold and aggressive, you can break up with them. You can dump them. And it depends upon when something called a franchise agreement expires. But Boulder had that opportunity. The timelines must have sort of lined up properly for them. So ultimately, there was, I'm pretty sure, a referendum. And so there was a vote taken by the citizens of Boulder. And what they did, I think the fancy term is they municipalized. And so they basically took over from Xcel, a very big corporate utility, and established a city-run utility, which is, it's still early. This has only been a couple years or so. And I'll be honest, I haven't read a lot about how they're doing or how that's going.
Right.
It's a complicated endeavor.
Yes.
You know, you're talking, people may not fully appreciate the vastness of the infrastructure. And then you get into the legal part of it. There's things like rights of way and insurance policies and liabilities. And, you know, it's not taking over a bakery. It's taking over just an incredible incredibly complicated infrastructure. And set of legal obligations. So it's a major step, and Boulder is one of the very few places to do it. And Sean particularly played a role in the part about the referendum. And I don't precisely remember that, but he certainly was intimately involved in it. So it's a fascinating example. It's an interesting step, I think, that places, you know, perhaps even places like Park City and Summit County ought to keep an eye on. And we're excited to hear from him about that this Thursday as well.
All right. So give us the details. Thursday, where is it?
Yeah, so we hold the Hill Utah Spring Breakfast at an event center, which is perched on the edge of Trolley Square, the nice urban mall down there in Salt Lake City. The event begins at 7, the program at 7:30. And if you're interested in picking up a ticket, we do have a few left, but to be honest, only several dozen. So if you want a ticket, hop on that now. You can go to hillutah.org/springbreakfast2017 or give us a call at 801-355-5055.
How much are tickets going for right now?
Yeah, we're selling those for $25.
$25. That's a deal.
And people can buy a half table. Yeah, it just helps defer the costs. And, you know, it's not too much getting the door. We got a delicious meal. We'll serve you some nice talks. And we're going to give a special award out. I won't say to whom, but that'll be part of the program.
Oh, nice. And it's a great time, opportunity to hobnob with other environmental activists in the area and other nonprofits, representatives,
state legislators, elected officials of different kinds, you know, folks who work in the outdoor industry. Yeah, we draw a nice crowd down there. Hill's got some nice support and always interesting events. We're proud of them. We'd love to see if folks can come on down and join us. We would love to see you there.
Okay. We got a few more minutes. What else is going on at Hill? I mean, you guys focus on air quality, you may get into other areas, hazardous waste or so, energy related issues, but your air quality is kind of your forte, let's say. I think we went over this past legislation season some of the pros and cons of some of the bills are passed, not passed. What do you focus on during the summer this time of year?
Yeah, 27.
Air quality remains an issue down in Salt Lake City 12 months of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, you know, the most visible problem and the one that which we are in the most trouble with federal authorities is the wintertime inversions, the PM2.5, those, you know, 10, 15, 20 days a year when our the levels of those fine particles exceed federal standards. But we do have a growing summer ozone problem, and that, you know, isn't quite as many days and we're not officially out of attainment, but it's one to keep an eye on because that does pose health problems as well. So yeah, 2017 is a surprisingly important year when it comes to air quality. And the reason is that since we've been violating those federal health standards for that wintertime problem for so long, we are now seriously out of attainment with the Clean Air Act. So that kicks in a new legal process and kicks in a new deadline for Utah to submit a plan to get back into attainment. The deadline for that is the end of 2017, and then we'll have to reach attainment by 2019. And so Hill is participating. We're in the thick of a process to try to get the state to do bolder and more innovative things. The technical legal part of that is, you know, we don't have time to go into, but the very short version is that if any other state has taken a measure which has cleaned up its air, we're required to take a look at it and to implement it in most circumstances. So we are studying those plans. A coworker and I and a colleague are actually going to Southern California next week. And we're going to meet with air quality officials in the L.A. area and just talk to them about what did you do? L.A.'s had some really sharp, major, dramatic improvements in its air quality. It's not a fantastic place for its air still, but they have taken steps in the right direction. A lot of electrification of all kinds of things, a lot of strict standards for emissions from not just cars and trucks, but heavy duty things and lawn and garden equipment and locomotives and all those kind of things.
Port of L.A. did a lot to reduce their diesel-powered vehicles to electric vehicles, et cetera. So, there's a lot of things going on in the L.A. Basin.
Yeah, so we're really diving headfirst into the kind of technical details of what Utah could and should do to clean up its air in a wide-ranging potential strategies. So that's exciting and work that we're really working on in 2017. It will involve the public at some point. Right now, we're a little more in the kind of research and policy development phase, kind of the wonky phase of it. But as spring goes into summer, keep an eye out and folks should find out chances for public hearings and public comment periods and the like.
So who else is working on it right now? Obviously, you guys are working with a working group of some sort. Who else does that include?
Yeah, so the Division of Air Quality heads up the process, and it's their job legally to submit a plan to the EPA. And they invite stakeholders to that. That includes industry for sure. Industry is required as part of this process, heavy industry, to kind of scrutinize their operations and see what other cuts they can make. So they're involved. And then there are certainly other environmental organizations, Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment, Western Resource Advocates, Breathe Utah, groups like that. So HEAL, we're fortunate to have kind of the biggest staff and the most resources. So we've been diving into it as deeply as anyone has been. But certainly it's a nice wide-ranging group of stakeholders that get involved and try to make these plans better.
All right. Got to wrap up. First, again, the event.
Yeah, HEAL Utah, 14th annual Spring Breakfast this Thursday morning. Check out healutah.org/springbreakfast2017.
Perfect. You guys podcast.
That's absolutely right. HEAL Shameless Utah podcast. Search for that in all the places that one finds podcasts. If you like the sound of my voice and want to hear more about Northern Utah environmental issues, give us a shot.
We always like the sound of your voice on our show.
That's right.
Matt, we always appreciate you coming by and glad you could spend the time to do so. Thanks again. And we may see you down at the event.
That's right. Thursday morning. Stay tuned. Next up, we will be speaking with Daisy Fair of Copper Moose Farm about their upcoming open house.
They got one too. All right.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mel.
Anytime, Matt. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
This is Brenda with Republic Services, your local provider for recycling and garbage collection. Information about what is acceptable to put in your curbside recycling bin can be found at summitcountyrecycles.org. Please help Summit County be clean. Remember to recycle.
This is Chris Robinson with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties. KPCW is one of the many nonprofits our agents and companies support. They are the backbone of Summit and Wasatch counties in our incredible community. More info at bhhsutah.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And in the studio with us for our second segment today is Daisy Fair from Copper Moose Farm. Daisy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming down.
Which means it's spring, right?
Exactly.
Which means it's going to snow.
Which means it's going to snow.
With a high of 35 tomorrow.
Right.
So.
And a low of...
Does that...
yeah.
So, right off the bat...
Yeah.
Is that worrisome for you?
Well, I mean, you know, it's spring in the mountains,
right?
It's
That's
May in the mountains.
Unexpected.
So
Daisy knows how to deal with this.
Right. I actually was thinking about this morning as we were preparing for the snows, which just me and lower temperatures is just covering even the hardier stuff more just because I don't want it to be set back. But I will take snow and cold temps over those winds last weekend.
Really?
Oh, wind just tears us apart because we are farming up here at this elevation. We use a lot of Remay row covers. We also use big pieces of plastic for stale seed bedding. And we also use a lot of row cover to protect from insects. And so when the winds start ripping through, yeah, the place can get torn apart, plastic, and it's just, it's a lot of work for us. So snow, it falls, it melts, and we go on with our life.
Daisy, do we have to amend our city ordinance on plastic bags to
well, see,
plastic
this,
farm
this
covering?
This is, you know, UV-protected plastic that I will use for a good decade or so.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, as long as the wind doesn't pick it up
it's
and
not single
take
use.
It to Tooele or something.
It's not single use.
No, it's not. It's
But the point is wind can do a lot of damage, more so than what we would think, that snow and rain
Well,
and
yeah,
and
potentially the wind just does more damage to the actual farmers, to the humans involved because it's so stressful.
Right, to the operational
yeah,
side.
Yeah, so, you know, snow and cold temps in May, that's the game. We all know that. As I was talking to Paula at Whole Foods the other day, and she was like, oh, I'd rather have this than, you know, 95 and dry.
Yeah.
And true
Absolutely.
Story. True story.
No shortage of water this year.
Right, you know, good water. And look, everything's green and happy. We'll
right.
be okay.
You'll
that's
be okay.
right. So before we dig too deep into what you guys are doing at the farm, you have an open house coming up. You
right.
do this every year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Saturday, the snow should be melted by then. It's supposed to be in the mid-50s.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. So, yeah, this is the one time of year when we open up the farm itself to everybody, to the whole community. And we have all of our growers there. We've got our beekeeper there. We have a lot of our community food partners there. So we will be there from noon to 3 to show everybody our greenhouses, our gardens, our chickens, our bees, anything people want to check out. So we hope to see everyone out there from 12 to 3. And our, like I said, our community food partners will be there. So plan on buying some lunch while you're there if you're interested. And yeah, it's a great time. It's been really fun. Last year, the weather was beautiful. You know, we've had some crappy weather open houses, but this will be a nice one. I mean, it's going to be warm. And it's so fun to have the community out at the farm, just kind of wandering around, checking it out.
And so is the point of entry the farm stand?
No, it's not. And we'll have signs up. The point of entry is the more direct route to the farm. And we will have signs up so you can't miss it. Yeah, so it's just a little bit further down Old Ranch Road. It's the next driveway past the farm stand.
Yeah. And this is family friendly.
Family friendly. Yeah, the only thing we ask, if you are going to bring your dogger, just keep it on a leash and maybe not take it into the gardens. But other than that, yeah, totally family friendly. And something else I want to say about that. Yeah, it's a great time.
What's different this year at Copper Moose?
Well, we haven't made any huge changes. We are always tweaking stuff because we are always striving to get better and try new stuff. And that's one of the reasons I love farming. Like, stagnation does not come into play. We're always changing it up and trying new things. So we've got a couple new crops going this year, ginger and turmeric in the greenhouses. Ooh. That we've had to come up with some creative ways to grow it because we don't have room in the greenhouses. We're not going to get rid of the tomatoes in order to try a new crop. So we've come up with some new ways to grow items in the greenhouse. And
are these like suspended from the ceiling at this point?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yep. And you know, these, it's suspended from the ceiling in old seed bags filled with soil. So we'll see how that goes. You know, that's probably our biggest experiment this year. We've put up a new little caterpillar tunnel this year, which is fun. And just, you know, season extension. We're always messing around with season extension since we are up here in the mountains.
A caterpillar tunnel.
It's just
for
Chris looks lost.
Yeah, Chris looks afraid. No, this is, it's just another, it's another word for a type of low impact structure that goes over a bed or three beds or however big you want to build it to extend the season. So this is just a very small one, just covers one bed. But it's, and that is stuff that people can take away and take home with them, because something like a caterpillar tunnel or cold frames, things like that, can easily be done in people's houses. So we're not talking about a $10,000 hoop house or anything like that. We're talking about Home Depot supplies. Put it up in your yard, you know, helps you grow stuff
covered
earlier and longer.
Okay.
So it's occurred to me that everyone listening might not know exactly what Copper Moose Farm is.
Right.
So tell us about it and about your CSA.
So Copper Moose Farm was established in 2007, and we are a 2-acre vegetable and cut flower farm. We use the best organic and biodynamic practices. We have around an 80-member CSA, and then, which is community-supported agriculture. So folks buy in at the beginning of the year, and then they come once a week once the season starts to pick up their produce at the farm stand. We also have a farm stand. This will be its fourth summer, right off Old Ranch Road across from Willow Creek Park, 1285 Old Ranch Road. And our farm stand will be open 3 days a week, starting the first week in June, fingers crossed, unless something tragic happens tomorrow. But I'm planning on opening it up the first week of June.
Great.
And so it's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 6 and Saturdays from 9 to 3. And we have all of our produce there. And then we partner with some great local food producers who've been around for a while. Red Bicycle Bread, of course, Auntie M's, she does baked goods.
What do you do with them?
So we're just selling their products there.
Oh, you're selling their products?
Yeah, we're
there.
Their products for them, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have Red Bicycle Bread, Auntie M's Baked Goods, Mama Chari Kombucha, that hasn't been around for a long time, but they're down in Salt Lake. They're great. We have kombucha on tap.
Which is so cool.
Ritual Chocolate, of course, our hometown-based chocolate company.
In the fall, maybe some honey?
We have, well, actually, honey happens like early summer and then hopefully in the fall, depends on what the bees do. Yep.
Right.
So we have our own honey. Anything that we produce from Copper Moose Farm, we don't bring that in from anywhere else. So if you're coming to buy carrots, you know they're from Copper Moose Farm. If you're buying honey, you know it's from Copper Moose Farm. If you're buying bread, you know it is not from Copper Moose Farm, right? Because we don't grow bread. So we don't bring anyone else's products in that we can produce ourselves, because I don't want there to be any confusion there. But who else do we have? Pink Elephant Coffee, Beehive Cheese. We've worked with Beehive Cheese for, gosh, years, probably since about 2008, when they were just getting started. So we have some great long-term relationships.
You bring in fruit as well.
We do bring in fruit. Ron, the peach guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we pick our folks who we're going to work with who have similar perspectives on sustainability and agriculture. We're excited this year. We will be carrying protein from Old Home Heritage Place Farm. I get that right. It's so long. Heritage Place Farm, those guys out in Vernal, they're doing a great job. Todd Coleman, who works for me, he went out there one of our snowy days back in April, and he spent the day with them at their farm in Vernal and came back with a double thumbs up. So we'll be carrying their chicken and turkeys and beef and pork. It'll come in a frozen form. It'll be frozen at the farm stand in our big
freezer. But it's locally grown.
Yep, Vernally grown and all pasture based. They're doing a great job out there. So we'll be carrying their stuff. We're also introducing Wasatch Creamery. Chris Tarch will be carrying her ice cream at the farm stand this year, which will be super fun.
Okay, this is all jammed into that little farm.
Am I going to see you now at the farm stand? Now that I'm carrying ice cream. Are we going to see you out there?
You'll see Chris if you have free samples, I think.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'll let you know. Chris will be there doing free samples.
I just like to watch the honeybees. That's all.
Right.
I just
and we do have that hive right there at the farm stand.
Okay.
Yeah, that observation.
Are you provider of vegetables or so to any local restaurants?
Yeah, we do. Just a couple, because we do end up selling most of our produce right from where we are. But we have some great relationships with some chefs in town that I don't want to give up. We work a lot with Deer Valley. They're great. Our salad is on the menu at the cafe, Deer Valley Grocery Cafe. Mm-hmm. And we also work with Adam Ross, who is opening up a new place, I think maybe June 1st.
Okay.
But I shouldn't be talking about that. Anyway, so we do work with some... That's his deal. We do work with some local chefs, dedicated local chefs, who are flexible to work with a small grower. I think it's hard to work with a small grower who has many outlets for their produce because, they have to be flexible. And the really creative chefs are flexible. So it's fun. I love our relationships with the chefs in town.
Good. I hope they shout that out on their menus.
Yes.
Let it be known that they're sourcing local vegetables. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Will we ever see a stand... Let's say a Copper Moose stand inside Whole Foods?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
Yeah, we are super blessed with our location. Mm-hmm. And
no, I mean, but the point is Whole Foods interested in sourcing local vegetables?
Yes, they have approached us. They have, indeed.
Okay.
Part of my big premise that also coincides with how fortunate we are with our location is that know your grower and know the land that your food is being grown on, if you can. And we can provide that here in the Park City community. You can come to our farm stand, which is on the property.
Right.
The folks who are selling the food at the farm stand are our growers. We don't hire people to work the farm stand. Like, they are the growers also, so they can answer your questions and inform you about anything you want to know about. And you're staring at the land right there. So, I think when we go to the grocery store and all you can choose between is organic or non-organic, then you make that best choice, which is organic. But how much does that really mean? If you have the opportunity to know your grower, whether it's the person producing your eggs, the person producing your beef, or the person producing your carrots and lettuce, do it. Because that's how you're really going to know how the food's being grown. There are a lot of fabulous growers out there these days who are no longer pursuing an organic certification because it doesn't represent them as fully as they would like to be represented. And so now all of those growers, Copper Moose included, are lumped into the conventional growing category, which is amusing because we're far from conventional. So know your grower if you can.
Right. And that's a decision you guys made maybe a few years ago,
right? Yeah, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we intentionally dropped our organic certification. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm always happy to talk plenty about that. And you can find me at the farm stand Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to three. That's my shift over there. And I'm always happy to talk about all this stuff because it's very important. Mm-hmm. And fun, and you all should know where your food's coming from and ask as many questions as you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why
and
not?
Come to the open house because we will all be there to answer those questions, and you can see how it's being done.
All right. And you can meet the not only the bees, but the chickens, right?
You can meet the bees. The birds and the bees. Chickens. We got them there. Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep, our girls.
All right.
And all of our growers. I think it's a unique opportunity to... Mm-hmm. Plus, it'll be a beautiful day and a great spot to grab lunch after you ran with Ed.
Yeah,
come on over to the farm.
It's shaping up to be a full
just
day run on
right,
Saturday.
Just keep running.
Just keep,
right
just turn
there.
Around, run right back. You will have already run by in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember run by? Okay. All right. Yep. So summarize again. This Saturday
from noon to three at the farm, Copper Moose Farm, which the address is actually 1115 Old Ranch Road, but we will have signs up basically across from Willow Creek Park, and we'll have signs up. So we hope to see you there. Bring the family. Grab some lunch.
And website?
Our website is www.coppermoosefarm.com. And we have a lot of info on our Facebook page as well.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. All good.
I think that does
Daisy,
it.
Daisy, thanks so much
guys.
For hustling in here. And I'll take advantage of this sunshine.
Yeah, right. I better
snow
get back and keep covering.
And secure things.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, you guys. Have a
thanks,
great afternoon.
Daisy.
Thanks, you too. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have... some 7th grade students from Park City Day School talking about their efforts to support Bonanza Flats.
That's right.
All right. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of KPCW. From kids' rope courses to zip lines and hiking trails to the bike park, Park City offers a wide range of family-friendly activities all summer long. More information on new summer activities and all the other programs can be found at parkcitymountain.com.
Hi, this is Carolyn from Recycle Utah. Don't dump that cooking oil in your trash or drain. When cooking oil ends up in the landfill or drain, it can be harmful to our water. Recycle Utah has a solution for you. Bring your used liquid cooking oils and fats to the recycling center, and it'll be used to make biodiesel. Recycle Utah is your local nonprofit recycling drop-off center, bringing water conservation ideas to you for over 25 years, and we support KPCW.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in studio are three students from Park City Day School. They're here to talk about the project they're working on in support of Bonanza Flats, right? And if I get these names correct, they include Maxine Kushner, Olivia Tracy, and Margot Grotstein.
Grotstein.
Yes, exactly.
as you
Margo.
Said.
Margot. Well, now I just go by Margot and Olivia and Maxine, and they're here to talk about your project you worked on or working on with respect to Bonanza Flats. So why don't you guys first give us a summary of what your project's about.
So as a class, we decided to choose a sustainability project for government. And we set on Bonanza Flats because it was a really important issue to all of us because we all grown up in this area and all have used it to, you know, for any activities, hiking, biking, snowmobiling, just and hike. Yeah.
Right. So outdoor activities. And so you decided that you saw that this property is up for sale. And I guess one of the things you did that I read is that you did a little economic analysis on the how to raise the money involved to purchase this, right? Because it's what, $25 million or so?
38.
Yes,
38 million dollars.
$38 million. And to date, there's still a few million dollars that needs to be raised.
Yeah.
So what was your economic analysis about?
So for the...
Get it nice and close there, Max.
So for when we were doing the money, we were calculating how much each household would need to have to raise the money by the deadline, which is June 15th. We realized there is roughly $3 million left to raise. So if all three surrounding counties, Salt Lake, Wasatch, and Summit, all participated, that'd be roughly $7.50 per household. And if only one in four households participate, that is roughly $30 per household.
So it's very doable, and that's really what we're really trying to get across in this campaign.
Right. And that's... That would raise the remaining $3 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it just 25% of the homes in Wasatch County, Summit County, and Salt Lake County, that's $30. But yeah, right. It's very doable when you put it in those terms. It's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fast. So how did you decide to come up with that analysis? Who did that?
Well, it wasn't actually us. It was another girl in our class who was doing some posters. And we saw this big, you know, $3 million, $2 million number, and it seems almost impossible. And so just to get people more motivated and to make sure that it's conveyed that it is possible and it is doable, we decided to come up with those statistics.
Fantastic. Okay. So tell us more about your campaign. How are you doing outreach? Do you want to grab this one, Olivia? We'll move the mic over towards you. We're sharing in here.
So one of the common ways that we are getting the word out that we are holding this campaign is through Instagram. We make posts daily about how much money we have to raise and where to donate your money to. We have also made posters that we are planning to hang up around Park City and those areas. So we're hoping that many people will be able to see and learn about our campaign in Bonanza Flats.
And what's the Instagram?
It's the PCDSMS account, and that is where we're posting everything about our flats and what's actually there and all that.
And
go ahead, Marco.
We're kind of indirectly working with some of the other schools because Ecker and a few other school groups are also working on the Bonanza Flats issue. So they are doing a T-shirt project that they're selling at...
Selling T-shirts to raise money, basically.
Yes, and then they're doing more the money side of it. We're trying to kind of more get the word out.
Just bring awareness,
education. Yeah, bring awareness to... not only our, you know, our small Park City Day School community, but also, you know, the outer, you know, Park City community who don't exactly know where it is. They probably used it, but drove by it, but, you know, don't know exactly where it is or what it's going to be used for in the future if we do not save it.
That's a good point, because why would people in, say, Salt Lake County care about Bonanza Flats? Can you address that?
So one of the main reasons why it's important for Salt
Max,
Lake...
Max, this is Max.
One of the main reasons why it's important for Salt Lake County is that if they do end up developing the area, it can pollute part of their water and their water supply. So that was one of the main reasons. And even people from Salt Lake use it for recreational things. So
sure.
Not just people in Wasatch and Summit.
But it's part of their watershed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This land.
Okay. Yeah, they use a lot of the water that comes out from that, you know, goes through it. And if you got golf courses and residential life going on there, the chemicals in the fertilizers would, you know, pollute the water and make it very hard to filter out. And yeah.
Okay, so it has a huge impact, environmental, recreational, for a lot of people, and that's why you say it doesn't take a lot of money if everyone pitches in, kind of that collective impact idea that everyone pitches in a small amount of money. It could make the difference. It could get us to this $3 million that's left there. When's the deadline?
June 15th.
June 15th. Okay.
So there's a core group of you, I think four of you, maybe working on this. Has there been a lot of enthusiasm from your classmates, schoolmates, other schools, things like that?
So as Olivia. You heard before, Ecker is also pitching in on this campaign. And our whole class, we're doing it for a government project, and our whole class is also pitching in. We've split into groups. One group does social media, our group does TV and radio. Another group will do letters to the editors, trying to get it out to newspapers. So a lot of people are pitching in additional to us.
Got it. All right. So you guys are the outreach team here then.
Wow, fantastic. And what about your teachers? Who's your guidance, mentors on this?
Well, our main teacher in our government class who was really guiding us on this project is Miss McGann. She's amazing in helping us and guiding us through, you know, all the challenges that come with, you know, especially publicly getting this out, because mm-hmm. you need to be smart about who and where you're marketing to, and, you know, who's going to hear about this. And, yeah.
All right. And is this an all-girl effort? Like so many shows we've had kids, students on. It's like, oh, this is... Are there any boys helping in this project?
Oh, yeah.
Please mention one.
Yeah, so we actually, on our radio TV group, we have...
What?
This is the radio TV group right
yeah.
here.
We have one boy who was sick today, so... yeah, and then in the other groups...
That's River.
Yeah, River.
Let's mention his name.
Yeah, it's River.
River.
Yes, so, and Jillian, then in the other groups, there are boys, too.
Okay, so they're pitching in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good for them. So we have a few more minutes. I want to talk a little bit about another project you guys were working on, another sustainability project. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a competition you were involved. Who was involved in that? Max? Olivia?
We were all of you. Yeah.
All of us. We went to the actual competition.
What was that competition about?
It's a competition called Future City, and you go there and you have to design and create a city model and all that with a presentation telling everybody about your city, and you're always given one challenge. And this year it was public space. So we had to figure out innovative ways to incorporate public space into a new city that we created.
Wow. Okay. So what was the city that you created?
So,
where was it? Was it local?
We actually made one in Antarctica.
Okay.
Of all places. it sounds like a pleasant climate. But
a challenge. Why not raise the bar on challenge yourself?
And we went to the competition, and we did very well. I think the best our school has ever done. We got third place overall in the regionals at Idaho. And that led the city heard about what we did, and that led them to have us work on their Bonanza Park, which, you know, confusing Bonanza Flat and Bonanza Park. But
yes.
The Bonanza Park is this area in Park City.
Right.
Park City
down near
proper.
Recycle Utah, mm-hmm.
yeah,
the Boneyard,
like,
that
yes,
property
Boulevard.
Area.
On Kearns Boulevard and Munchkin Road. And it's right by the recycling center in that area. And it needs a renovation. And there were going to be developers just doing it on their own. But they saw what we did with our Future City project and decided to have our whole grade work on this project and identify the problems in Bonanza Park and think of imaginative ways of fixing them.
Okay. Fantastic. So we got a couple more minutes.
Yeah.
Would you live in this city in Antarctica, the one that, you know, after creating this?
I would.
You
I,
would? What
yeah.
was, what's appealing about? What does this city have?
It's so innovative and it's interesting, even though like it's like years and years and like 50 years away and all that.
Yeah.
It's still one of those really innovative cities that even any future city I'd go and live in because they seem very interesting. But this one in particular, like the whole resort town is really appealing because we live in a resort town.
Right.
So it's always just really interesting. And we kind of modeled it off Park City. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost like a more snowy, futuristic Park City with a, like, if we were to build Park City today, what would we want it to be?
All right. What about you, Olivia? Would you live in this city as well?
I would, despite the cold temperatures. We have a lot of really cool public space that is incorporated into the city that we came up with in Antarctica. We have ice rinks. We also have museums and science labs. So very exciting new activities for people to go to. We also get around on snowmobiles and electric snowcats. Both of them are electric, and so that way we don't pollute the air in Antarctica.
Okay.
So each way we get around, there's it's electric, so we make sure not to pollute our air.
Okay. Well, do you guys cover in your political science class or your history class or your science class? Do you cover a lot of environmental issues?
I think majority of what we do in government and science and end of year project, it's all around sustainability and what we want our future to look like. Both are in Park City and outside of Park City, you know.
All right. And you find that fascinating enough that you got involved in projects and competitions and now Bonanza Flats. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. What's next? You just like quit school and run for public office or something? Just go right to college? Do you have any other projects in mind, or is it you just working on this one
till
the end of the year?
Well, we're just working on two main ones.
The Bonanza Park project and then the
Bonanza Flats project. Okay.
Which does get very confusing.
Yeah.
But we're working on them at the same time, one in science end of year project class and one in government class. And I think after that, I don't know.
All right.
Think we're going to continue doing sustainability
projects. After that, it's eighth grade, right?
Yeah.
just keep it simple.
They get a summer break in there somewhere.
Yeah. That's for thinking of new projects. So,
exactly.
So let's summarize again your efforts here with respect to Bonanza Flats. Where do people go? Where do our listeners go to learn more about what you're doing?
So to learn more about this and to donate, you can go to www.savebonanzaflats.org. And then you can also go to biddingforgood.com/savebonanzaflat. And yeah, those are the two main websites.
Okay.
And then also you can also go to our Instagram account because we have informational posts that come out about the area. So
right. Between now and June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
And remind us those numbers. If all three
surrounding counties, Wasatch,
Summit,
Summit and Salt Lake. If each household donates, then it'll be $7 in change.
Right.
Per each household, and if 1/4 of them donate, it's
$30.
Yeah.
That's like, what now? That's three of the lattes you get.
If I drank coffee, yeah.
Okay. Just a hypothetical.
Exactly.
The point is, it's not much.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
It's achievable.
Right.
And it's for a good, really good cause. All right. Well, we want to thank again. We have Maxine Kushner, Olivia Tracy, and Margot Grotstein.
Yes.
Yes. And shout out to your teacher here.
Yeah. Miss McGann, yeah.
Miss McGann, thanks. She's been in studio. So good. Thank you so much, Miss McGann, for all you do. And supporting these efforts and bringing awareness to the students about sustainability and environmental protection. So thanks again. We'll have you on maybe in eighth grade when you're developing Bonanza Park.
That's
a little
right.
Farther. Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got one news item, really a critical thing to talk about, the Department of Interior. Public comments going on with respect to Bears Ears and other national monuments. We want to explain to you how you can get involved and submit your comments directly to the Department of Interior. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com. Long, Reimer, Weiniger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Did you know that Park City's stormwater drains into McLeod and Silver Creeks without being treated? It's important that you never use the gutter or storm drain to dispose of used kitchen chemicals because it will impair our streams and impact the health of our community. Use environmentally safe products or contact the Summit County Landfill to find out how to dispose of your unwanted hazardous kitchen materials. For more information, visit parkcityutilities.org. Park City Municipal is a nonprofit organization and supporter of KPCW.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And we've got a few minutes left in the show and wanted to talk about the review of our national monuments that's currently taking place. We've talked about this on a couple previous shows. I mentioned that there's an opportunity for public comment. And so we did a little research, got online, took a look at what's going on.
And we found some really fascinating things about the public comment process. First of all, this is unprecedented. There has never been a public comment period established for national monuments, right?
Well, they've never been reviewed.
Right, because they would never fall under because it's an executive order by the president through the Antiquities Act that establishes these national monuments. This administration, of course, wants to turn everything inside out. And so what they're doing is they've opened up the, for example, the proposed Bears Ears National Monument for public comment. So you can go to the Department of Interior's website or actually you can go to regulations.gov. Yeah. Go to regulations.gov and type into the search bar the following: DOI-2017-0002.
You can also Google Bears Ears regulations.
Right, and you'll find it. And in fact, on the regulations.gov front page, there's actually a little highlight that says National Monument Public Comment, and you just click on that, and you can go to their public comment page. And so I did that, and it's really easy to, it's well done, it's a well-run website. You go there, you click on it, you say, add a comment. Click on add a comment, there's your box. You can put in your name or not. You send in your comment. And they've received thousands of comments so far. I think the last count yesterday was 9,300 or so comments. It's open until now. This is interesting. This is important for Bears Ears. The comment period is open only 15 days. For all the other national monuments under review, oddly enough, they're open for 30 days through the month of June. You only have until May 26th to submit your public comment. Here's the incredible thing: that there's no minimum age to who can submit a public comment. That means our seventh graders from Park City Day School can go on to regulations.gov. We've got to mention that to them. Hope they're listening. That they can go on and submit a public comment. And everyone up, high schoolers. So teachers out there, if you're listening or you know teachers, you know students, there is no minimum. You don't have to be 18 and above. Anybody can submit a public. I confirm this with representatives from the Department of Interior that there is no minimum age who can submit public comments. So this is critical. Whether you oppose this, whether you support the National Monument or you oppose it, make your comments known. This is an incredible opportunity to do so for the next 11, 15. I'm going to submit mine. I did a quick summary. We have like 30 seconds. I went through like the most recent 100 comments that were posted, and 96 of them were in support of the national monuments. Not just Bears Ears, but 96 were just saying, we need our national monuments. They are important. And if you submit a public comment, make sure that your position is stated in the very first sentence. And we'll spend more time on this next week. How about that? And we'll actually read through some of the public comments. All right? Want to do that?
All right.
No,
I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right.
Nah.
Well, we have to wrap up.
Oh, yeah.
For today's show. Another hour of This Green Earth has
great
flown
show.
By.
Let's thank our sponsors and underwriters who make this show possible. They include Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance,
Vail Epic Promise,
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties,
San Francisco Design,
Park City Mountain,
and listeners like you.
Of course, you can join us, like us on Facebook at KPCW, This Green Earth.
Most importantly, we want to hear from you about what you want to hear from us.
Yeah.
So email us your thoughts, your comments, your ideas for future shows, and we will bring on the appropriate guests.
That's how we got some of our guests today.
Yeah,
all three of them. Exactly. They reached out to us and say, hey, we want to talk about this or that. And again, thanks to Park City Day School and Maxine, Olivia, and Margot for coming on, and Matt Pacenza from Heal Utah, et cetera.
Remember, this is KPCW 91.7 FM Park City. We've got your WhatsApp.